Welcome back to the Impact Lounge. You are in the number one place to be for the Impact Wrestling fan. This is the Cool Factor Podcast. I'm your host, TW. And of course, with me is the man with the plan, BQ. Say what's up to the people.
Yeah, what up? It is your boy, BQ, in the place to be. So we did try streaming here a little while ago, and we're having all sorts of problems, but now we seem like we're good, and we're going to talk some Bound for Glory. So we should be good to go going forward, y'all.
Yeah. So without any ado at all, we're going to get right into the card here. But real quick, before we do that, a little ado. If you're watching this, please just take a second and click that like button so everybody knows you like this video. Just click that like button real quick. Go ahead and hit the subscribe button if you're not subscribed to this channel, so that you are subscribed, and hit the notification bell so you get notified each and every time we get ready to drop some brand new fire content on this page, even if it's at, you know, 12 a.m. on a Sunday night. So let's 12 a.m. East Coast time, probably in the Midwest. It's 11. So it's nice.
11.
It's not even late. It's not even late over there. Okay?
It's late. It's late for me.
All right. So Bound for Glory 2022 is in the books. And we're gonna go right down the card here. Let's start from the top of the actual pay-per-view. All right. So the show opened with Mike Bailey taking on Frankie Kazarian for the X Division Championship. And this one was, you know, exciting as always, you know, with Speedball Bailey. But it came down to Bailey throwing himself through the ropes to break a hold that Kazarian had on him. On the way back in the ring, Bailey got caught with a slingshot cutter. Then Kazarian hit the flux capacitor for another close fall. But then he countered the Ultimo Weapon into a mid-air cutter. And Bailey even kicked out of that. But then Kazarian transitioned into a chicken wing and forced Speedball Mike Bailey to tap. So Bound for Glory opened up with Kazarian defeating Mike Bailey to become the new X Division champion. What did you think about this result here?
Shocking. Definitely shocking. But to real quick, to sum up the overall Bound for Glory pay-per-view before we kind of get into everything, I felt this was the best pay-per-view of the year and of the in a while. Very easy to consume. And I said this on Twitter. I understand it's a pay-per-view, but if they're able to capture this general look, this general feel, this general presentation on their weekly show, I think they would double viewership in a year. I don't mean it's going to happen the next day, but it looked good. Like it looked like the older TNA, you know, those, like right now they post clips on social media and people are like, what happened to TNA? I wouldn't say that watching that last night. Granted, it's a pay-per-view size crowd, but if you can somewhat capture that, I think skies would be a limit, man. Because right now this studio setting they have is depressing and it's dark and fucking sucks. As far as this X Division match, this was really, really entertaining, but I was really shocked by the finish. You know, I kind of went into this saying they finally have an opportunity to beat an AEW guy. You know, it seems like anytime they bring anyone from anywhere, they get put over the Impact talent. I was genuinely shocked when Aussie Open weren't the number one contenders for the tag titles of Bound for Glory. I was genuinely caught off guard. I was like, they're going to come in. They're going to beat the Motor City Machine Guns. They're going to be number one. So, yeah, man. I didn't see this coming. I really didn't. It just seemed like this Mike Bailey reign was going to go on for a really long time. I felt like by the time he really dropped it, there was going to be some kind of feud, man. There was going to, I mean, his title reign was all random matches, the entire thing. And I know they try to present it as, well, it's an open challenge, but they don't present it well. Like they say it once in the very beginning and that's it. So it just looks like he's just getting random opponents the whole time. So I was shocked that Kazarian won that number one contendership. I really didn't think he was even going to win that, but he did. And then he wins a title. Like my only complaint about Bound for Glory, even though I said it was like their best pay-per-view, I didn't like the majority of the finishes, which, I mean, who am I? Whatever. I just didn't care for the finishes. And I thought they took a step back for the sake of nostalgia in the show in general. I felt that the three people in the company, and we're going to get to each of these people, who had the most momentum was Mike Bailey, Steve Macklin, and Masha Slamovich. And momentum was halted for all three of them tonight for what? Masha, I guess I can kind of see it. But Macklin, you had him hot. You had Mike Bailey hot. And now they're back to square one. The match itself was great. And before I let you speak, I commend Impact for Scott for not giving us 50 multi-person matches. It wasn't like six-man tags and eight-man tags and all sorts of, I mean, they just gave us the card that we've been asking for. Like, just give us good cards. I mean, good matches. The storylines were complete doo-doo leading up to this, but I almost forgot about it because I was enjoying the matches so much. And this was a good way to start it. Had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I think you kind of said it all right there. Surprise would be an understatement to say, seeing Kazarian, because I don't know what you add by putting your X Division title on Kazarian. I'm all for the idea of, you know, getting a more visible talent from like an AEW to carry your title, and eventually they got to drop that title back to you. And so one of your guys is going to get a win over a more visible talent, but Kazarian ain't that, you know? So I just don't know what they add by getting Kazarian as the X Division champion. So, all right, on to Mickie James. Mickie James with her fine self. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not just kidding because she is fine, but I don't reduce her greatness to how good she looks. And the fact that she has obviously clearly found the fountain of youth and she's not telling anybody else where it is. But Mickie James took on Mia Yim in another stop on the last rodeo. And, you know, on this last rodeo, if Mickie James loses, her legendary career will be over. All right. So Mickie James attempted her bulldog, but she injured her leg in the process. Then Mia Yim set her sights on the left leg of Mickie James, and Yim continued to attack with a DDT. Moments later, James creates separation with a neck breaker, then takes Yim down with a Fez press. James builds momentum with a series of clotheslines. Yim comes back with a buckle bomb, followed by a cannonball in the corner for two. James comes off the top rope with another Fez press for two. Yim counters the Mick kick into a stretch muffler submission. Yim hits Eat Defeat, but James grabs the bottom rope to break the pin. Yim successfully hits the Mick DDT. To score the victory. They wrote that wrong because Mia Yim did not score the victory. Mickie James hit the Mick DDT to score the victory. After the match, Mickie James and Mia Yim showed each other respect as they embraced in the ring. What did you think of Mickie James' latest stop on the last rodeo in this match right here?
So this was really, really good too. And I talk about the build being doo-doo. I mean, what did they do? Sit down on a sofa and like, hey, you want to wrestle Bound for Glory? Okay, yeah. Cool. They had a nice little history, you know, when Mia Yim had the interview and she showed the old match. I mean, they really could have played into that a lot more than they did. I mean, at least it was part of the storyline, but I feel like they could have played into it a little bit more. And the Mickie James thing, it's cool, but it's like we're going to do this last rodeo. She gets a match versus a jobber, and then immediately goes into a Giselle Shaw match, and then Mia Yim. So, I mean, she's getting some pretty big opponents very early on in this. So, but it's whatever. There was no doubt in my mind that Mickie James wasn't going to win this match, right? Mia Yim wasn't going to win, but the match was so, so good. And every time I see a Mia Yim in the ring, I keep saying, man, I cannot believe this is Jade from 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, it just seems like such a different person from top to bottom. The entrance, the promos, the ring work. I mean, granted, this was the Impact Zone in Orlando, but I mean, she was wrestling the crickets before, dude.
Right.
people saw her as like a potential talent, but I mean, she's killing it. But this was a lot of fun. Mickie James, for such a good wrestler, has the shittiest finishers. Man, that DDT and the Bulldog, dude, they look like crap every time. She hit that that fucking DDT at the end. And it was like, you know how like John Moxley right now, how he used to do a double arm DDT and now he's just being lazy and doing a double arm suplex and beating people? Like, that's what this looked like, dude. I mean, she just rolled over. Mia Yim just like gingerly, softly fell on her back and then,
right,
you know, gets the pin. So I thought that just looked like crap, dude. I wish she would have a different finisher. She, at one point in WWE years ago, I think she had something called like the long kiss goodnight or something, or she like reach him over and kiss him and then,
oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, dude, like that was badass.
I would have volunteered for a match with Mickie James.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, give me your finisher.
But no, this is a great knockouts match. And honest to God, watching it, I mean, I don't know why I said honest to God. This isn't a secret. I'm watching it, and it just made me realize, man, this knockouts division is really on another level when it comes to like some of these other women's divisions in wrestling. I mean, you would not get that match in AEW, anything on that level. And I like the women's division there a lot more than most people do, but the match that they put on, you wouldn't get that from any two girls they have right now, in my opinion.
No, absolutely not. All right. Speaking of knockouts division being on another level, the knockouts world tag team champions, VXT, Deonna Purrazzo and Chelsea Green, took on the Death Dolls, Taya Valkyrie and Jessica, because she's sick, with Rosemary for the Knockouts World Tag Team Championship. So the newly minted Death Dolls look to regain the Knockouts World Tag Team titles from VXT. Chelsea Green escaped the early assault from Jessica and makes the tag to Purrazzo. Valkyrie gains the advantage with the sliding German suplex known as the Pandemonium. Green and Purrazzo deliver a double big boots to Valkyrie on the apron. Green holds Valkyrie's leg from the outside, allowing Purrazzo to continue the attack. Valkyrie makes the tag to Jessica, but Purrazzo has the referee distracted. Moments later, Valkyrie uses her quickness to successfully tag in Jessica. Jessica hits a double splash. Oh, she splashed both of them for a very near fall on both opponents. Then Green comes back with a curb stomp, but it's not nearly enough. Valkyrie spears Purrazzo out of the ring. Jessica follows up with a sick driver on Green to score the pinfall victory. So we had new Knockouts Tag Team Champions, the Death Dolls. What did you think about this result?
I wasn't happy with the result. This wasn't the first one because I didn't like the Kaz finish. So this was the second in three matches that I was just, are you fucking kidding? So the positives, though, is that I really like the entrances, the music. They all look the same. They're dressed the same. Like, I really like that in tag team wrestling. And I wanted to see VXT like have these titles forever. Like, no kidding. he just said those are fighting words because Impact can't match Serena Deeb or Thunder Rosa. I disagree on Thunder Rosa, actually. And Serena Deeb's amazing. I love Serena Deeb. I'm just the biggest fan as anybody, but after she had that shit match with Toni Storm, dude, that lumberjack match, I was got to knock her down.
Yeah, but you know, but that ain't her, right? I mean, like, it's one of those things. If you see Serena Deeb and you know everything she does is excellent, and then you see her have a shitty match, it ain't her.
Probably not her.
It just don't work out like that.
Yeah, but yeah. As far as this, when Taya and Rosemary were the champions, what I keep saying on here, I was like, get the titles off them because they're a comedy team, and it's not like bad comedy. It's not something that I'm like, this isn't funny or this isn't entertaining. I've been saying like I'm entertained with the Jessica stuff, and I like the three of them. I think Rosemary's fallen a long way. She's gotten her figure back though, because you remember she had that injury, and then she, you know, wasn't at her ideal weight admittingly, you know what I mean? But she's back there, man. She's pretty thin again. She looks really good. But so I mean, just props to hard work. But
hell yeah.
I worry because it's a bit of a comedy team. And again, I'm entertained by them, but that doesn't necessarily mean, I just don't think there's ever a place for belts on people who are doing comedy. that's just kind of how I look at it. But I also thought VXT was just like really good. I don't know what the hell they could even do if they're not the champions. Like when they lost the titles, it made me think, all right, who's leaving?
Right.
That, you know, that's the first thing I thought. And that worried me because I like them a lot. I don't think it's Deonna. You know, Chelsea, I said when she signed with Impact, or when, you know, she came back, she's not signed long term. I was like, she will go back to WWE tomorrow. That girl loves that company.
Right.
And I talked about it too when she was with TNA in the beginning. Every time she did a podcast, man, all she's talking about was Tough Enough and WWE during the interview. Oh, yeah, I'm with TNA. Yeah, I'm doing that. You know, she loves that fucking company. So now that they're bringing a bunch of people back, you know, I really wouldn't be surprised. So we'll see. But yeah, that was my first thought.
I would be surprised. I'd be surprised. If Deonna Purrazzo, I'm sorry, if Chelsea Green got re-signed by WWE, I'd be surprised. She's just not that good. Like, let me tell the truth. Like, Chelsea Green's not that good. She's not. She's not that good. She's not super coordinated as a wrestler. She's not smooth in the ring. You know, like, she's just not. I think she's a really cool person. You know what I mean? I think she does good character work. But, listen, NXT would have kept her if they saw a value in her. I'll just leave it at that. All right. So we go from one tag team title match to another tag team title match. We have the Impact World Tag Team Champions, The Kingdom, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, with Maria Kanellis taking on the Motor City Machine Guns, Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley for the Impact World Tag Team Championship. So this match was, as you would expect, nonstop action. The match came down to the Kingdom hitting the Hail Maria, which is like the Meltzer driver, right? Like the one guy holds the person in the pile driver position. The other guy jumps off top rope and kind of spikes him like that. But Alex Shelley was able to break up the pin to keep Saban from getting pinned right there. Then Shelley launched Bennett into his own partner, who's trapped in the Tree of Woe, and then Bennett inadvertently super kicked his own wife, tis. And Taven rolls up Saban with his feet on the ropes for the win. So the Kingdom, Matt Taven and Mike Bennett, retain the titles over the Motor City Machine Guns. BQ, what did you think about this result?
They rely on that spot quite a bit, don't they, of Bennett taking out Maria by accident.
I'd like to take out Maria.
They did that in Japan too. They rely on that spot quite a bit. I love this match, man. I really did. I was like, this is a solid, like, I'm not a star ratings guy, and I think a 5-star match should be perfection. To me, this is like a really, really solid 4-star match, you know. I'm not as loose with my stars as some people are, but I thought this was the best tag team match Impact's put on in a while. I never questioned the Machine Guns winning the match or the Kingdom losing, because the story has been for ever now that Heath and Rhino are going to win the titles. They were supposed to win the titles 2 years ago when, thank God, they had that stipulation where Rhino won the gauntlet. But Heath was supposed to win, but Heath got hurt. They were supposed to win the tag team titles. And then they, you know, eventually he comes back and there's this little storyline going on. We're going to win the tag team championships. And I remember I said this back then. I was like, there's going to be some kind of long storyline they're freaking doing all just for Heath and Rhino to win the titles. And Heath has been very randomly feuding with Honor No More for a while. I say randomly because I don't even remember why he's mad at them. I assume they took out Rhino once upon a time. That's all I can think of. I'm sure that's what it was. But he's been like randomly feuding with them for a while. Rhino shows back up. And I'm not saying I know spoilers or anything like that. I'm just, because I don't look at spoilers. These motherfuckers are probably going to take the titles off these guys. That's the story. It's some call it long-term story. Like, I guess it is. It's not one I care for. But I noticed a lot. Scott does this and Tony Khan does this. Really only Vince McMahon's the only one. Like, Vince McMahon will change his mind and say, sorry. Scott D'Amore and then Tony Khan, they both do this. Like, hey, we had you pinned to win the championship. Something came up. As soon as you come back, we'll get the titles on you. Like, they stay the course, you know? So I just have that in the back of my mind at all times. And I was like, the Machine Guns are not going to win this match. The Kingdom's going to win. There was no doubt in my mind about it. But it was super good. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I think I liked every match on this card. I really do. Yeah. I know we're going to talk about a few more. I don't think I had a negative thing to say about any of the wrestling, but for me, this was maybe my favorite match, top two match, but I had a lot of fun with this one.
Yeah. All right. Up next, we had the Call Your Shot Gauntlet, the winner earning a title shot of their choosing anytime, any place. And these are always a lot of fun. One thing I will say I really enjoyed about this particular Call Your Shot Gauntlet was the fact that this was a live wrestling environment. So you could hear people actually reacting when different wrestlers would come out of the curtain or, you know, when a big spot would happen or something like that. And I think stuff like that is a very important gauge of where you are as a wrestling company. Like, how many people do you have? Are you sending through that curtain that the audience is actually going to react to? I think that's an important question that, you know, promoters need to ask themselves. And then, you know, getting in front of an audience like this in a live environment tells you so much of what you need to know. So the Call Your Shot Gauntlet came down to Bully Ray and Steve Macklin. And I think if you've been watching Impact, you know, you should know that the person who they've been investing in, who's been, you know, winning matches, who's been feuding with this person and that person, was not going to win, because that would be like investing in your future. And why would Impact do that? Instead, we give the Call Your Shot Gauntlet trophy win to Bully Ray. Do you know who I am? Okay. Bully Ray, he wins the Call Your Shot Gauntlet. And, BQ, what did you think about this?
So as far as this comment just popped up on a screen, I want to see a knockout win. I think the knockout's going to win next year. I've been thinking that for a while. I think one is going to win next year. As far as this was by far the best Call Your Shot Gauntlet they have done. The first 2 years, the guy who drew number one won. You know, last year's was pretty good too. But, you know, we get Swoggle's been in a couple of them. We got the Demon last year. The wrestling was kind of suspect. It's always been a little suspect for this, because they're trying to integrate how do we make the women and men work together. Right. And sometimes they do a good job of it, and sometimes they don't. And there's been a lot of, this isn't the Royal Rumble. There's 20 people in this. There's not 30. So I just don't think there's time for joke characters, for midgets, for, you know, I think Alicia Edwards came in last year and was eliminated within 5 seconds. Like, why put them in the match? You know, it's okay with the Royal Rumble. Everyone, you know, I remember as a kid watching Bushwhacker Luke come down doing his freaking thing, steps in the ring, gets clotheslined, and then just lands on his feet and starts doing this leaping. That's funny every once in a while, you know what I mean? But I just don't think it was like particularly booked well. It's always been the opener. This one was good. The surprises aside from Tommy Dreamer, man, when this motherfucker's music hit, I was like, here we go again. I'm sure he's gonna main event Impact. He will main event Impact before the year is up. I'm sure of it. I think.
Did you think Dreamer was winning the gauntlet?
No, I definitely didn't think he was winning. I was worried when he came down that Raven was coming in too, though, after that Hall of Fame thing. But no, I really thought this was the best one they've ever done. I was really happy to see Taylor Wilde back. I think she's the, for someone who like was away from wrestling for so long and leaves for these long periods of time, like she is so good in the ring. It just, it's crazy to me. But there weren't like joke people coming down, you know, right. there were some, they had a lot of surprise and I mean, they had like five slots that they didn't announce. So I was like, dude, yeah. we're guaranteed to get, you know, Mascaria Sagrada or something like that. The midget from Lucha Underground. I was like, we're going to get some bullshit. And we didn't. I was watching this with my 9-year old. He doesn't really care like wrestling, but there must've been six people left. And he said, who do you want to win? I was like, either, you know, I pointed out Rich Swann or Steve Macklin. He's like, I want the guy with the gray shirt to win. And he's talking about Bully Ray. And I'm thinking, oh, son, in the back of my head, you know, he's probably not going to win. Actually, I know he's not going to. And then they get to the bottom two. And I was like, oh, I feel like I'm going to have to be like, hey, sorry, you know, you were wrong. Bro, when he hit that bully bomb and pinned the dude, I was like, no way. Like, I was just mind blown.
Yeah.
And the way I look at it, dude, for some reason, they think there's money in this. But if you look at WWE or AEW and Bully Ray showed up on their program tomorrow and he had a title shot. And these are the big companies with millions of people who watch them. Would the majority of those fans say, I want to see that match? I don't think so. So why would a smaller company invest in, let's have Bully Ray beat one of our young guys who was hot at the moment? What eyeballs do they think that's bringing in?
Right.
That's my question. Like if the biggest companies wouldn't do it, they wouldn't put Bully Ray wrestling for the world title.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, no, I also don't get the move of the Bully Ray. I don't get it. I really don't get it. I'm not sure what he brings to the table.
I don't mind him wrestling for the title. Let me rephrase this because I've had to say this on Twitter and on Facebook. I don't mind him wrestling for the title. If on an episode of Impact, Bully Ray puts out a challenge or something like that, that's fine. You know, these monthly specials, they've had bullshit challengers left and right. Brian Myers for the world title and, you know, all sorts of dudes that, it's whatever. They're the monthly specials. Cool. But don't have him win the gauntlet. He didn't need to win the gauntlet to get this title shot. If they want to give him a title shot, awesome.
Right.
But not to win this staple match that you're trying to get the fans to invest in from year to year. It's like, this is our rumble. This is our, you know, the guy who wins this has always won a title. And now this guy wins. And now it's like, oh, crap, you know. Is it because we need someone to lose? We need someone to win this match and lose? You know, maybe, but I don't know. And anyone who's like, oh, I'm so glad he won, and that's fine. If some people are glad he won, that's fine. I just think that's who Impact's trying to reach. Yeah. Those people already watch the show. So that's just the way I look at it. If one of the bigger companies isn't going to put him in a main event for what – because that's not going to bring extra eyeballs. Like, what makes them think if Bully Ray wrestles for a title, people are going to check it out?
Right.
You know.
But who knows? Who can explain the logic? I don't know. All right. We had the Knockouts World Champion, Jordynne Grace, taking on Masha Slamovic for the Impact Knockouts World Championship. So two of the most intense, unrelenting knockouts of all time collide as the undefeated Masha Slamovic challenges Jordynne Grace for the Knockouts World title. The bell rings and the fight is on. Both competitors charge towards the ring and start unleashing a flurry of punches. This match was very interesting because I felt like there was a lot of spots in the match. Excuse me. I almost choked to death on a minute. I felt like there was a lot of spots in the match where Jordynne Grace had to slow down to kind of let Masha catch up. You know, Jordan's has gotten herself in such phenomenal shape. And Masha is not quite, you know, in the same kind of shape as Jordan Grace is. So I was curious, you know, what kind of match we were going to see here. You know, there were some parts where it was slowing down a little bit. But ultimately, Masha hit Jordan with an air raid crash, followed by the snowplow. But Jordan Grace's foot was right under the bottom rope to break the pin. Then Grace gave her a Grace driver off the top rope to win the match and end Masha's undefeated streak. So Jordan Grace gets to keep her title. The match, all in all, was actually very good. What did you think of this result?
I said the tag team match was my favorite match. This was my favorite match. So tag team match number two, this was number one. I cannot think of a knockouts title match that was on this level. I know Jordan and Deonna had some like killer matches, and Deonna's had killer matches in general. But this match right here, man, this was freaking amazing. The result wasn't what I would have preferred. I actually thought I wanted Masha to win. The problem is she's already kind of beat everybody. So that's where the problem lies. So, well, she's 16-0 this year. So she's pretty much beat every knockout on the roster. I don't know if she's a babyface or a heel. I don't know, because she wrestles everybody. I think she's a heel. I thought this should have been the main event of the show. There was no doubt in my mind. I thought this was the one match that was built very, very well. I was really excited for it. And I still think it should have been the main event, even though the main event was very good as well. But I thought this was the best match on the card.
Yeah, no, it was very good.
But
what are you going to say?
Yeah. So the only way I look at it is who, if Masha won, who's she going to wrestle? I was hoping she was going to win and then wrestle Mickey James ultimately. Either Mickey wins her title, which is how Impact would do it, or the way they should have done it was have Masha end her career.
Right.
So that's what I was kind of hoping for. Jordan is a really, really good champion, but it's like, well, what does she do after this? Clearly, right. They just see, excuse me. Clearly, they see Jordan versus Mickey James happening down the road, and they've already teased it on TV. And usually when they tease something, there's truth to it. Just like when Heath teased winning the titles with Rhino, like, it's going to happen. They don't just say that kind of shit to not do it. Right. So clearly that's where they're going with it. They want to do either Mickey's going to take it off her, or they're going to, you know, make Jordan an even bigger star, hopefully. But the way that Bound for Glory was booked, I would assume Mickey James is going to win the title.
Right.
That's, you know, if you just look at the way they did this show, they're not really, let's have the newer guy beat the older guy to advance themselves in the company type of people.
So Impact gets down. What?
It's just not how they get down. So right. We'll see what ultimately happens, but that's clearly what they want to do. I just don't want to see them get this Masha versus Killer Kelly thing going too quickly, because I think they're going to do that eventually. I made this comparison several months ago. In the early NXT days, Baron Corbin was extremely over. He's not like Baron Corbin now. Extremely over. Used to win his matches in seconds, and part of the gimmick was the fans would count down. They would just count when the bell rang. Do you remember that? So they would count up 15, 16, you know, how many seconds is this guy going to win in?
Right, right.
And then Bull James, I gotta forget what the hell his name was in NXT. Very similar wrestler, squashing people, not as quickly, but he was squashing them. And eventually, these two had a match against each other because they were so similar in the way they were being presented, much like these two. But once one of them won, when Baron Corbin beat him, they couldn't rehabilitate the other dude.
Right.
They just couldn't. I think he ended up becoming a comedy character after being a steamroll people type of heel. So I just want this. I don't want them to go into Masha versus Killer Kelly too quickly.
Right.
I think that's where they're going to probably go with it. But I don't know. The match, though, was so, so good. The finish, the only thing that didn't make me hate it with Masha losing was the finish was badass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's beat her.
I definitely came away just being like, man, they totally earned my respect and the respect of anybody who was watching them during that match. That match was phenomenal. So they deserve all the credit for that.
And Michael Spike says, talk about Brian Myers. He's the best digital champion ever. I didn't watch that match. I still have to watch it. I just didn't watch the pre-show. I didn't watch it live because I didn't have the reception. But I know Dirty Dango.
I also missed the Brian Myers match. And there's a reason why. Because he's not doing anything good. We were not compelled to watch that match that was on free YouTube. So I will not be talking about Brian Myers right now.
But it was a joke match for a joke championship. I like Brian Myers. I love Brian Myers, but and I have Dirty Dango. I seen him at NWA, but people just need to calm their expectations when there's an open challenge for the digital media championship.
Right.
It's a joke championship. Like, you're not gonna get. I saw people. Oh, I bet it's this guy and this guy. No, this is exactly the kind of wrestler that, you know, it was gonna be.
Right. You ready to get into this main event?
Yeah, man.
So this main event was intense. Josh Alexander versus Eddie Edwards for the Impact World Championship. Now, I had been saying that for weeks. They've been showing us on TV that Eddie can get a pin over Josh. And so I kind of expected it to happen. I kind of expected Eddie to win the title and go over. But Josh ends up retaining, and they did it in a way where you know, they kind of they had the Honor No More run interference and just all these things, but you didn't notice it. You know, like, you really didn't notice it. By the time they got to the match, you know, Josh wins with the C4 spike and all is right in the world. But again, you always got to ask, like, what's next? You know, where does Josh go from here? What can they do to make Josh Alexander interesting to not only us, but also the masses as whole?
I don't know, man. That's what, every time he beats someone, I'm always thinking the same, like, what the hell's next? You know, I thought this, as I said, I thought the Knockout should have main evented this thing. I thought this feud was very, very fake. I thought the heat was very, very fake. Very, very forced. And the reason I say that is because they got away from the storyline that got the match, that put the match together to begin with. Months ago, Eddie was talking about, I didn't get this opportunity to wrestle Kenny Omega, blah, 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 blah. That laid the foundation for a really good story. And they got away from it. Like, he like hated Josh Alexander to the point that it caused problems with his marriage at home. And he was so committed to being anti-Impact and you know, I'm Honor No More. And then the feud starts and he's trying to recruit Josh and sitting next to him on a sofa and they're not fighting. They're just talking. And Eddie would come down, cut these promos like, Josh. And it just wasn't believable to me, man. Like, it really wasn't. I wanted Eddie Edwards to win this match so badly. I really wanted him to win. I thought they kind of dropped the ball. I shouldn't say they dropped the ball, but it's like this whole feud is going on. Not even the feud, but Eddie Edwards having this big heel run. And at the last minute, Alicia's like, you know, they finally put her in the storyline. And she's like, it's either me or Honor No More or whatever the hell she said.
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking, oh, they're keeping Alicia out of this because she's going to screw Josh Alexander over. You know, she was sitting next to Josh's wife. I thought it was going to be like when Josh was sitting next to Angelina Love years ago.
I was thinking that too. I was definitely thinking that.
I really thought it was going that direction. But it turned out the wives were just sitting ringside. That's all it freaking was. They had nothing to do with the match whatsoever. And, you know.
Also, Eddie and Alicia appear to have one child who appears to be black. I have questions.
So they adopted. That's why. I don't remember the story exactly. They either adopted or they, like, my youngest son, I'm his legal guardian, you know, so people see us together. He's blonde and has blue eyes and they're a little confused. I've raised him since he was two, though, so he's my son. I'm his dad, but on paper, I'm his legal guardian. So either they're like legal guardians, or it was an adoption. It was something in the along those lines. But right. I think they've raised the child since a very young age. But yeah, they were just sitting ringside, and it's like, I was already booking in my head. I was like, yo, Alicia's gonna screw him over. And people don't know Josh's wife is a wrestler. So
yeah.
I was like, they can get away with some kind of mixed tag. You know, I was already planning all this in my head. And you know, Honor No More showed up at the end. It was a little TNA overbooking, but as you said, it didn't really like it worked. The good thing about the way that camera was, the hard camera wasn't on the entrance like it always is. When Honor No More came down and they pulled Josh out of the ring, we didn't know it was coming. I had a feeling because the ref looked like he was positioning himself out of the ring, his right. leg out of the ring. But the way the camera is before, we can see people running down. So there's right. no like, there's no shock factor to it whatsoever. But they really laid this match out very, very good. There was no doubt in my mind this wasn't going to be a good wrestling match. I mean, I knew for sure it was just the feud in general didn't inspire me. And I don't know what's next for either of them. You know, the end, the Bully Ray stuff at the end, I knew Bully Ray was not going to cash in. I knew he was going to turn on those guys. Like, I could see that from a mile away. I don't care, dude. I mean, that the end of the show is like, get Bully Ray out of there, man. What is this?
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough because, you know, like, regardless of what you want to say, like the build going forward is around Bully Ray, and it's just, this is not a good look for Impact. Like, I don't want to say anything, you know, mean about Bully Ray, but I just don't think it's a good draw. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't think that makes Impact hotter by having Bully Ray.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I really don't. He's been part of NWA here for a little bit, and he's not moved the needle for them at all. You know.
I got a question for everybody in the chat. So we got through the Bound for Glory card, and the next time Impact is going to come to pay-per-view is going to be in January at Hard to Kill, which is coming from Atlanta. Oh my God, I almost forgot my question, but it came back to me. The question for everybody in the chat is, by the time we get to Atlanta for Hard to Kill, what's going to be our main event? Drop your comments in the in the chat below, and maybe next week we will respond to what people think some of the answers for what the main event will be when we get down to Hard to Kill. What do you think about that?
All right, sounds good. You want me to put some of these answers on the screen?
Sure, we can put some answers. Fine.
But you just want to talk about it next time?
No. Well, I was gonna say I wanted to put comments down in below the video. You know, drop some comments below the video, and then we could react to some of those maybe next time. But we'll see. We got some answers in here. Palladian says Josh versus Kaz. That's interesting. Pazuzu McGee says Bully versus Alexander world title match. Who else we got? Morales Vlogies.
Vlog. I think that's vlogs.
Oh. Well, listen, it's late. Okay. I had a long day at work.
It's a capital G. I know.
Vlogies. Listen, Morales Vlogies. Bully Ray versus Josh for the world title potentially could happen. I think that's probably would be my pick too. Josh versus Sammy. That could be interesting.
What was cool about this Call Your Shot Gauntlet is I think they set up a couple feuds. By the way, dude, I was going to say Matt Fish because I was a player on the Clippers in the 90s. Bobby Fish looked old as shit. I know he's old. I didn't feel like why on EAW, I was like, oh, this dude's 46. I mean, this dude looked 50 out there. I don't know what it was, man. But they set up a couple feuds. I do think Macklin versus Fish is going to be a feud here because Macklin eliminated him. But Sammy is clearly going to be going at it with Eric Young here. And I think that's going to be really interesting. It's going to be two guys that use the pile driver. But aside from that,
Right.
Their characters are so similar in a way. I think it's going to be very, very interesting.
Let's see. Josh Alexander versus Masha versus Bully Ray. To main event, hard to kill. That would be interesting. Yeah. Intergender triple threat. Bank all stars. No. All right. Josh Alexander versus Macklin. Listen, what happened to the homie Steve Macklin? He looked like he was getting prepped for a title opportunity, and now he seems to be taking some L's.
Yeah, I think he's the one that's ultimately going to take the title off Josh, personally, but we'll see.
So, Terrence, a beautiful name. Terrence Sullivan, that's a beautiful name.
Yeah.
First part, anyway. Mickey versus Jordan for the Knockouts world title. I think, if you ask me, gun to my head, what would be at least one of the main events, I think Mickey versus Jordan for a Knockouts world title would be one. And I do think that Bully Ray versus Josh Alexander is going to be the other one. So I kind of think that's where we're headed.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You want to take a couple more?
All right. I think that's all we got for that.
All right. So listen, keep the comments coming down in the chat. Drop your comments below the video. We'll do a mailbag soon where we just answer a bunch of questions for you guys. Thank you guys for staying up late with us. It's pretty late over here, but you see the dedication to bring you guys this here content. We hope you guys enjoyed it, and we will be talking to you guys soon. BQ, tell the people where they can find you out here on social media.
You can find your boy Negative BQ at BQ Speaks on Twitter.
And also you can find me at TW Talking About, as you can see right here. Okay. TW Talking About right there. You can see me at TW Talking About on Twitter. You can also follow my podcast page at Talking About Pod. Tweet me. I tweet back. You can follow my YouTube channel, also at Talking About Pod. Listen to the content I got up over there. Got some more new content coming for you guys very soon. But as always, if you guys want to help the show, the best thing you can do is tell a friend to tell a friend. Let's bring more people into the show. For BQ, I'm TW. Peace.